A former St. Paul teacher breaks her silence after quoting curse words from a student cost her career and reputation. How corporate media painted her as a racist without any facts. Next. Wendy Brulowski is my guest. Wendy, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me on.
I think this story really is important. It speaks to the cancel culture we're still living in, the danger of viral videos with really no context, and to corporate media and their agenda that seems very obvious. But just set the scene to start with. It is 2019, so this is a while back, but you're a Spanish teacher at Highland Park Middle School in St. Paul. You have this ongoing behavioral issue with one specific girl in your classroom. I know this is all well documented, and this had kind of been building, but take us back.
So I taught social studies in the Spanish immersion program at Highland Park Middle School. And this student had been kind of a student of concern ongoing. I had made several phone calls home. Her mother had said that she knew that her daughter was difficult. In conversation with her mother, we figured out that the girl was upset because she was tired of seeing Black people portrayed in a negative manner. The unit we were in was the slavery, Civil War, and Reconstruction. So I totally understood that and offered to reverse the curriculum and teach the Civil Rights Movement before teaching the slavery unit to show, you know, the positives that had come out of the struggles. And the mom said no, that wasn't necessary, and it would have involved a lot of work with the curriculum director, but I was willing to make that change. I later found out that the student was also quite upset that I kept using the word negros. It was Spanish immersion. It was not Spanish one. Negros is the word for blacks in Spanish. It's culturally appropriate. So this goes on. It builds for a while. Assistant principal, John Andrastic, ended up pulling her out of my class, and she just never showed. I found out later he was keeping her in the office. He never told me that was part of his plan. And then every day she started coming past my doorway on the way to her class, and then would kind of taunt the other kids. I don't have to be here. I get to sit in the office during class. And I just ignored it. It was not a battle worth taking on, and you know, continued on with teaching. I had all along been proposing all kinds of solutions to John Andrastic and talking with her counselor, New Katz Merrick, and just never got anywhere. Schedule changes, all kinds of things to help, meetings, and it was always not possible, and no one ever had any time.
So she's removed from your class, as you're talking about. That goes on for about 2 weeks. She's back in your class the day this all happens. Just walk us through what specifically went on that day.
All of a sudden, one morning, she showed back up in my class unannounced. No meeting had taken place, and she came in, sat down next to her friends, started talking with her friends, pulled out her cell phone. I took one look at the situation, assessed it, and I was kind of terrified. I didn't want to push any buttons, so I real calmly said, "Could you please put your cell phone face down on the table?" And all of a sudden, she just stood up, exploded. Her chair went flying. She shoved the tables. She started yelling. She shoved through a whole bunch of other kids in the room and stormed out into the hallway. So I'm left with a classroom full of kids, but I also have other students who are out working in the hallway. There's all this yelling going on, everything else. I'm trying to corral kids, get them back into the classroom so that we can close the door and have a conference, discuss what's going on and diffuse the situation. Meanwhile, I'd also gone back to the telephone to call the office to tell them what was happening in my classroom and that I needed help. It took the John Andrastic, our AP, about 10 minutes, I think, to get back up to the room. It was a significant amount of time, and the chaos is building. By the time he got there, I was like I was totally distraught. I had over 40 kids, half in the hallway, half in the classroom, no control. So I didn't know what he knew. I whispered to him what she had said, which was to use a very foul term. But I did whisper it but I was also in such shock. I couldn't believe that she had used the term. It's not like I hadn't heard it in school before, but not in that setting. And it was a word that I have never in my life used. I never even heard that growing up. It was just not a term to be acknowledged. So Mr. Andrastic has always acknowledged that I was only reporting what the student said. Another student videotaped the whole situation, edited all of what was going on, and then had put it out in social media.
So before we go too much farther here, there is video of that exchange, Wendy. We want to acknowledge, just as you said, it's terrible language. You're repeating what this student said to tell your principal that. And then also there's the comment that you're repeating, the principal acknowledges basically that you're repeating these words as well. So listen.
Walk around the room. Yeah. And they just pick on them. Because they're black. And they're the only doing any work. I know. I'm sorry.
No. That's what you've been saying. She's repeating what you're saying. But
I'm sorry.
So again, the principal says that's, quote, what you've been saying. She is repeating what you're saying. You can hear that clear as day. A student records that, posts it to social media, and from what I understand, that the St. Paul superintendent, Joe Gother, then issues a quick video statement apologizing just hours later to everyone in the district. Just explain what goes on then in the course of that day, and also if he even talked to you before doing that.
No one from the district has ever contacted me. I was in the office till the end of the day. I was told to go home after writing my statement down. Later that evening, I received a phone call from my principal telling me not to come back into school the next day. It took a couple of days for me to get in to have a meeting with my union, and I was told would be my best interest to resign my position, that there was nothing that they could really do to support me. It was very obvious they wanted me to fade away. The information I was given from my union was that I would lose my teaching license, I would lose my pension, I would lose all of my retirement benefits. I had no time. I mean, they needed a response from me within a day or two. So I offered my resignation. I needed to protect myself. I needed to protect my family. This was a time when people were coming out to protest at other people's homes when situations similar to this had arisen. Highland High School students marched out on 3 days of protests, from my understanding. I received death threats, emails of threatening violence, Facebook posts. I had to file a police report. So I was terrified and did at the time what I thought was best.
You have the media, Wendy, pounce on this story. You can see right before your eyes how it's manipulated. I want people to listen how this one local reporter framed the story.
You are about to hear the voice of a staff member at Highland Park Middle School. The language is alarming.
Because they're black and they're the only doing any work.
This cell phone video surfaced on social media Wednesday.
So again, no mention of she is repeating what you're saying. They clearly leave that out. And did they even try to contact you before running this on the news?
No, I didn't hear from any local media. That reporter never contacted me. I did try to email her and ask why she had never gotten my side of the story or even attempted to contact me. And she did respond to that email. And when I told her what I was asking for, just why didn't you even attempt to call me? I got nothing. I emailed a few more times and it just never went anywhere. So I let it drop. I did try to contact a couple of other media outlets, but given the situation of what was going on in the world at that time, no one was interested in working with me. And I was also very hesitant to share my story because I didn't know what was going to happen. It had already been so convoluted and twisted that I was in fear.
So your reputation is ultimately ruined, a reputation as a 30-year teacher. You have a master's in multicultural curriculum. You've hosted, I know, a bunch of exchange students in your home over the years. You've led many student youth group trips all around the world. Of course, you're a racist, though. Talk about that, though, what I would call a very poor leadership in your district. And then there's this media machine also at work, so laser focused on this message, whether it's even true or not. Talk about that, how this 15 seconds of a video with no context has affected your life even all of these years later.
That few seconds of video went out and absolutely destroyed a 30-year career. My reputation is destroyed too. I, after this, applied for a job at another school. I tried to become a substitute teacher, but the on-call agency told me I was unemployable. I tried to get a job with a temporary staffing agency just to get some kind of different experience other than teaching. They told me I was unemployable. I tried to volunteer with a church group working with immigrants, Spanish-speaking people, families, and got absolutely no response. I speak Spanish fairly fluently, and I can't even use that talent to help people. No one wants anything to do with me whatsoever. I thought that this would eventually fade away, but when you Google my name, you look me up, you either see the local media report or the video clip from the student, and that's all anybody knows about my story.
Alpha News did reach out to the St. Paul School District to ask if the superintendent still stands by that statement and all that was allowed to happen as a result of that, and we were told that they do not comment on personnel matters. And I also wanted to point out that the superintendent has since announced that he is taking a job to be the head of schools, essentially now in Madison. So he will be leaving the district. But ultimately, why did you want to share this story, Wendy?
So my family was financially devastated. We lost 60% of our income. I have great difficulty finding employment. You know, I can't volunteer. I wanted to reach out. I just see this happening. I see this happen to so many people. You're the first news agency who's ever responded to my request to tell my story. I'm so grateful. I just think that there needs to be some journalism should be there for good, to do good in society and not to destroy people's lives. And it did destroy mine. In this, all of the cancel culture, everything that's going on, the divisiveness in society, at some point in time, this just needs to end.
But I also think, you know, teachers like you are not given a voice in so many ways. And I know you've also made the point about the parent, counselor, even the administration allowing this to happen by refusing to be really preemptive and deal with this ongoing behavioral issue, which is really at the center of all of this. And ultimately it costs you your career because this student is allowed to get away with this behavior. And that seems to be what's happening in more and more classrooms, you know, all across the Twin Cities and in Minnesota, frankly, for that matter. But I applaud you for speaking up and for talking about this. You're right. It just seems it didn't have to come to this if anybody cared about your side of the story at all.
Thank you so much. Yeah, and that had been the ongoing history with my several years that I taught in St. Paul schools is that, you know, teachers just weren't listened to. It was always kind of our fault or our thing to deal with. There were never any solutions. It seemed like nobody wanted to. There was going to be a rubber stamp, one program, you know, Joel Gothard's programs for anti-racism. That was just going to fix everything. But, you know, nothing ever trickled down to the individual level. Just simply working with kids and building relationships was very difficult to do.
Again, Wendy Berlowski, thank you.
Thank you very much.
That will do it for this episode of Liz Collin Reports. We'll see you next time.